So every Ummul Mu'mineen, we can't discuss each one, but if you have to check it up under the tafsir of that very ayat also, there is a whole write-up in Ma'riful Quran. And then there are other kitabs also that have been written on the reasons. Even in Fazail Amal, there is a write-up on all the Ummat Mu'mineen, but more detailed you find in other kitabs that why Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam married this Ummul Mu'mineen, why that Ummul Mu'mineen, why that Ummul Mu'mineen. The one, I think it was, I don't know whether it was Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha, one of the Ummahat Mu'mineen, she came from the tribe of Hawazin and Saqif. She was brought in as part of now the war captives, you know, all the prisoners of war. So they are distributed now as slaves amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distributes her also. Sahaba come up to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they say, no man, she was like the princess, the chief's daughter. It won't be right now we just distribute her like that. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sets her free. He sets her free and then he makes nikah with her. When he makes nikah with her, all the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who had all those captives, they set all of them free. So they say, now these are the in-laws of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can they be our slaves? So there was a lot of hikmat behind every nikah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every nikah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, as Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's first cousin. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had got her married to Hazrat Zaid radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now Hazrat Zaid radiallahu ta'ala anha, he was, you know, like they used to call him the adopted son of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And amongst the Arabs, once you adopted a son, then that is like your real son, no? He will inherit from you everything. He becomes your son. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to abolish this belief of Jahiliyyah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such. Now Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha and Hazrat Zaid radiallahu ta'ala anha, they're having problems in their marriage. They just can't get on. The two of them cannot get on. Hazrat Zaid radiallahu ta'ala, he comes complaining to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the one hand now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is counseling them, he's trying to patch up this marriage. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering him that this marriage is not going to work, you have to get married to her. So then what the Quran Sharif says, فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ, when Hazrat Zaid radiallahu ta'ala after he divorced her, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married to Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now in here there's few beliefs. One is for our Gujarati people and the other is for Shariat. Our Gujarati people and our Indian people, they say, no, you can't marry your first cousin. You marry your first cousin, children will be born skunt. I don't know, funny beliefs our people have. So here that belief is thrown away. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to his first cousin. And also that Aqeedah of Jahiliyyah got abolished. That your adopted son is not your son. He is just somebody you have brought into your house. He is not your son. Because your son, your daughter-in-law, you can never marry. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this nikah was proving that that is not your daughter-in-law, because this is not your son. So that whole jahilana akidah got abolished. And then from there we learn now that that son will not inherit from the father also. From the, you know, the adopted son, he will not inherit from that person who adopted him. So there's a lot of hikmat in there. Now every nikah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a maqsad, there was a reason behind it. Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married his daughter while he was on kufr. You see this family ties. Family ties was a very big thing amongst the Arabs. Family ties. Very, very big thing amongst the Arabs. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wives, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, were very, very key people in attracting those entire tribes to Islam. Because now they had a family bond with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To understand this, you take Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He is so old. He is old now in his khilafat. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala has a daughter. Right? She is young. She just becomes of age, like, you know, where she can get married. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala goes to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, get your daughter married to me. I'm proposing for your daughter. At first, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he refuses. He doesn't agree. Looking at the age gap, whatever it was, he doesn't agree. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is persistent. He carries on proposing, he carries on proposing until Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala agrees, and the daughter of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala gets married to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. They say that that was the happiest day in Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala's life. Why? He said, today I am connected with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have got a family tie now with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was his whole maqsad, his whole reason why he wanted to get married. That he can have that family tie with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's a big thing amongst the Arabs, even up to now. They would have their lineage, their family trees. We don't really have it. We may know our grandfather, great-grandfather Bichara. We don't know what's his name, and great-great-grandfather, we don't know he even exists. But they will have the whole trees, the whole family trees. It was a big thing. And you read up, we must read up, in fact read up, the marriages of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam got married to this Ummul Mu'mineen, why he got married. Now imagine Ma Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha. That nikah with Ma Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes that nikah while he is in ihram. So from there, from that nikah, we learn that you can get married while you are in ihram. Nikah is permissible while you are in ihram. If you are a Hanafi, Shafis can't get married. And Hanafi can get married while he is in ihram. And also we learn from there that you cannot consummate your marriage while you are in ihram. You can get married, but you cannot consummate the marriage. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made nikah, but he only consummated the marriage after he came out of ihram. So there are many, many masail. Ma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was a fountain of knowledge. The amount of knowledge she got from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very few to match her. And then there were lot of women masail that couldn't, how else are you going to teach the lady the masail of woman unless she is your wife? So many, many masail of woman, even later on in life when the Khulafa'i Rashideen, Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to be faced with the situation, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to say, go and ask Hafsa, if a situation like this arose in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, what is the masla? Then they would go to find out from her, she would give the masla. Ma'isha radiallahu ta'ala anha, how many people she taught, how many ahadith are narrated from her. So there was a lot of hikmat, a lot of wisdom, and never ever ever must we ever think that the marriages of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were wa na'uzu billah due to lust or desire or anything of that sort. It was never that. If that was the case, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have married in his young days. He would have got married. When a person reaches 50, now he's over 50, where is his dhyan so much in taking wives? And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marries so many wives, and in his busy schedule to take so many wives and worry about so many wives and then still worry about the whole ummah. So he was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make those nikahs. So that one about gifting, the woman gifts herself. Sometimes a person can get a wrong impression. How is this now? That what it actually means is that the lady, she would send the proposal to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she would waver her mehr, should waver her dowry. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite having the permission to do that, he never married any woman like that. So if it was lust and passion and desire, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have married all those women who came and they wanted to get married. Which lady wouldn't want to get married to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand. I was going to do that other one, two more ayat, but I felt that this was something important to explain. Inshallah tomorrow we'll continue with some other ayat. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.